Welcome to Overcoming Distractions. This is the place where distracted adults, entrepreneurs, and busy professionals grab knowledge, inspiration, and encouragement to get focused, overcome obstacles, and thrive. If you are an adult with ADHD, you are in the right place. But don't worry, because all types of brains are welcome. Each week, Dave helps you navigate the world of adult ADHD, including productivity, focus, burnout, and more. You'll always walk away with action items you can use. Are you ready? Here is your host, author of the best-selling books Overcoming Distractions and Overcoming Burnout, Dave Greenwood.
All right, folks, we're back. Thanks for hitting that download button. I can't thank you enough for hanging out with us, hanging out with our awesome guests. And before we get to that, I just want to remind you of the new book, Overcoming Burnout. It just came out in the past couple of weeks. And if you are feeling burned out, you're feeling cooked, you feel like you're heading that way, you are frustrated with your career, your job, or anything in between, I encourage you to grab the book. You're going to meet some awesome people who have bared their souls. They have told their stories, but more importantly, they have shared their street smart solutions to recovering from burnout. So, and I think that's important to point out. Some of the things we talk about in there are setting necessary boundaries in our life to make sure we don't burn out. We talk about how we need to align our values with that of our career and our job and the organizations we're working for. We talk about some things that you may not consider are contributing to your burnout, as well as some of the early warning signs. So, and we talk about, which a lot of people don't link, but it's incredibly important, is how poor time management can lead to burnout. So we're going to talk a little bit about that right now. You see that little segue there we do with time management and productivity there? So pretty cool, huh? Anywho, all right, it's Overcoming Burnout. You can find it on overcomingdistractions.com. There's a link there. Or if I want to make it easier, overcomingburnout.net. There's a quick little landing page and there's a link right there to buy the book. So I encourage you to check it out. So, all right. We're going to talk productivity, but we're also going to talk today about how two different brain types can actually work together and create meaningful impact for clients. So today we have Sarah O'Hanison of So Productive, and we have the superhero consultant, Jeff Gibbard. So we're doing a three-way podcast today. So welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So would you just, and I know you guys work together to consult with companies and even some individuals on how to improve productivity. I like to say improve productivity because sometimes, as you guys know, it's even taking things away. So, I say improve productivity, but can you guys just give us the Reader's Digest version of the type of business you guys are working on together and the type of businesses that you work with, that you consult with?
Sure. I'll take that one, Sarah. So both Sarah and I are very productive people, but coming from totally different backgrounds of being productive. I'm ADHD, and productivity systems are the only way I can manage my life and be successful in business, whereas Sarah is more on the neurotypical side of things and takes a different approach to her productivity in her former career as a CMO. So we've known each other for about 10 years back when I ran an agency for social media, and we both had been using Asana basically for almost 10 years. And when we 10 years later decided that we would pair up, it was because we were both using Asana, both consulting people on their productivity and efficiency, but doing it from alternate perspectives, and decided that by bringing our two types of brains together, we could actually better serve clients who likely have a team that's made up of people with different ways of approaching their work, of visualizing their work, and of getting things done. So in answer to your question about the types of businesses we work with, it's really across the board. We do have a unique ability to work with agencies and marketing organizations based on both of our background in marketing. But we have a client that's, you know, a multi-billion dollar company. And then we have clients that are, you know, three people trying to figure out how to sell more of their wares on a Shopify store. So it really spans the gamut. The ultimate thing that we're trying to help people do is accomplish more of the things that matter so that they can go home and put their head on their pillow and relax at night.
All righty. Sarah, anything to add to that?
No, he really nailed it. But the beauty of it is that two different parts of the brain, right? And so I was doing things one way and he was doing things another way. And we just thought, you know, we're both reaching clients who have these larger teams and they have these different brain types on the team. So I was starting to say, Jeff, do you mind taking a look at this? Do you think this would work for this type of company and organization and these types of brains? And sure enough, that's really how organically we paired up and got this started together, because we just thought we can really best serve the clients if we can take both of our abilities, both of our brain types, and put this together. That is going to be the best win for our clients.
Yeah. And one more thing I'll just add to is that we've actually come to have conversations where we say, oh, this is a Sarah client. Oh, no, this is definitely a Jeff client. So like the pairing of us, we've actually come to be able to see like, oh, this is someone that actually I can't help, for instance. Like they just want to do things in a certain way that like, I just can't process that. And then there are other ways where Sarah's like, I keep trying to work with them in this one way and it's not working. I think this is a you type of client. And then I work with them and they're like, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. So really it's important to pay attention to that entire spectrum.
Yeah. Now this is interesting because I am as old school as it gets, and I probably wouldn't survive in agency life to this day. You know, I ran a traditional PR firm for years, and you know, we did a number of things, everything from, you know, your traditional media relations, and then when some knucklehead invented social media, we, you know, implemented that into the mix of the retainer fee, you know. But I'm just pen and paper. So I'm interested to hear how you guys and the two different brains get everybody on the same system, because there you go. You don't see the video, but Jeff has a pad of paper. He's showing me, see, here you go. Here's my pad of paper.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, I probably get fired. And when I ran my agency, in the heyday, and we had huge clients too, there were some of them were like, all right, I need you to join our workflow system. And it's like, so I've got multiple clients and everybody's using different workflow systems, and my head wanted to explode. So I'm kind of interested to hear how you might do that. But so dig a little deeper into the two different brains of the organization, so to speak. How do you guys work well together? And I hate to ask you this, but where is the conflict?
Sarah, why don't you start off with that and talk about how you approach stuff? Then I think I'll talk about how I approach stuff. And then let's look for where maybe those things, the conflicts one's going to be really tough. Sarah and I have known each other for 10 years and like, we're really comfortable in our yin yang, but
oh, there's got to be something.
well, there is though. I mean, on occasion, and I wouldn't say it's conflict. I think conflict's actually the wrong word for us. But the thing that we've been able to do and quite well, because we know each other well and we're friends first, right? And we want to help each other succeed. We want to help our company succeed. So the beauty of that is, if there is ever, and again, I wouldn't say conflict, I would say, this is like not feeling quite right, is we are very, very open with each other, like exceptionally open with each other. And we also say that, you know, Jeff, I am feeling this way, you know, Sometimes Jeff has no idea how I'm feeling. Sometimes I'm feeling something that's ridiculous. And Jeff's like, I didn't even think of that. And I'm, you know, going home at night, thinking about it over and over again and kind of stressing about something. And Jeff's like, Sarah, I didn't even give that a second thought. Like, why are you stressing about that? So I think the key in our, you know, ability to work so well together and overcome any remote type of conflict is that we just say, hey, this is bugging me. This is how I'm feeling. Are you noticing this? Could this be better? How is this affecting you? Like, we have those questions, and we have a standing meeting with each other once a week where we just check in, and we sync up on client work, but we also just check in with each other. How's it going? How are you feeling? How's your workload? You know, how's this process going for you? And I think just being really open. The other thing that's worked really well for us, and Jeff said this to me long ago, he said, you're not trying to make me be anyone different than I am. And I feel the same. Like, Jeff honors and respects my strengths. He understands my weaknesses. And that's why I think we can really work well together, because he's not trying to make me do it his way. And I'm not trying to make him do it my way. But because of that, we think, okay, this is how our brains are working. Somewhere in the middle is where we're gonna meet. And we're also, it was a real natural way to have a clear division of labor within our company. Who's going to do what? It kind of came about pretty quickly, right? Because it was, that's a Sarah thing. That's a natural gift and strength of mine. Other things I'm going, I don't even know what he's talking about here. That's a Jeff thing.
So yeah. Two things I want to add that are super important here that Sarah like nicely teed up for me. I think a lot of the frustration that happens, because I've spoken with leaders about this, and they're like managing their team. And they're like, why can't I get this person to do this? And they'll start telling me about their team member. I'm like, oh, that person has ADHD. That person is legit like textbook ADHD. And you're asking them to do something that's just not going to work.
Yeah.
And to Sarah's point about our natural division of labor and things like that, is that very early on, we basically discovered what our superpowers were, right? Like, I was very clear, like, my superpowers in strategy and nonlinear thought and mapping things out and like building up, but like the granular details are going to fall apart. And Sarah just naturally can hold so many granular details and keep things in an orderly fashion and color coordinate her books, as you can see behind her. So we just had different brains. I think where if at any point we got into trouble and we quickly moved past this, I think both of us were holding in our minds and our hearts that we were asking the other to do something that was hard or that like, they would hate doing, right? Like, yeah. I would ask Sarah to do things that are like attention to detail and that to me are like painstaking for me to like, to go back and forth and schedule something or email. Like, I just would rather go to sleep. I want to run and hide. Right. And meanwhile, there are times where Sarah's being asked to work on something that has exceptional, like insane complexity. And it's about a process and a system that like needs to be strategized in a completely nonlinear way. And for me, that's like, that's playtime. It's like, you just gave me a bunch of Legos and said, build the Death Star. I'm like, let's do this.
Yeah.
So we just got really comfortable. And I think once we realized that the other person actually likes doing that thing, that's their superpower. That's when it all kind of came clear. And I think that's where a lot of companies get into trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were very clear about stepping on toes, right? So I would say, you know, is this okay that I take this off your plate? Is this something you want to do? Is this something I should do? Like, we just had very honest and upfront conversations on whose lane is this going to be? Now get out of my lane and let me do it, right? Which I think is also impactful. You know, we really found that there was a little bit of a gray area, and we squashed that pretty quickly. So now we're both in our lane. It's pretty black and white. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. I guess I don't know how, just to be blunt, but are you, when you're working with organizations, are you on the lookout for people that you think may have ADHD or distracted type of brains? Or, I mean, I know you said that some leaders come to you and say, I can't get this person off the mark. And Jeff, you're like, oh, yeah, here we go. He's mine.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, when you're working, say you have a team of, you know, an office of 20 people, 24, whatever it is. I mean, are you kind of on the lookout for these people so you can try and maybe give them a little extra attention or training? Or,
yeah, I would say yes and no, but I would say more likely the way that we approach it is that we go into each scenario with a client in mind that we're going to build something for everyone. So what we do is when we structure our systems that we're building for clients and we're building training, is that we're actually designing it for pretty much everyone across that spectrum, from like the way my brain works to the way Sarah's brain works. We have the ability in our systems to make it work for both. So what we try to do is, instead of kind of like trying to do an inquiry of like, well, how does your brain work? And how does your brain work? we do ask people, how do you like to work? What's important to you? How do you like to see your work? So we do ask things and try to customize it to the person, but we're building things with the idea in mind that no one system will really work for everyone. So we try to build it with enough flex in it that if someone like me comes into the organization, I'm not going to be scared and run away and like not want to ever check in on the system. And by the same token, it can't be so, you know, built for the ADHD mind that someone like Sarah is not going to get enough of what they need to be able to do their work. So we try to build it for both. But I would say in terms of like being on the lookout, I think we both have a little bit of kind of the point of like, this is a Jeff client, this is a Sarah client. We both have a bit of an innate sense of like recognizing ourselves in others. And you can see it by people's workspaces. You can see it by their desktop. You can see it by the questions that they ask. It kind of begins to reveal, oh, this person's a little like me, or, oh, this person is not like me. And a real simple one is like, how do you feel about spreadsheets? Like that question alone will give you a pretty clear, like start to define, are they in my camp or Sarah's camp?
Yeah. You just sum me up perfectly. You say Excel and I just go running out of the building. I mean, I just don't get it. It's just not the way my brain works. You know, I like words and, you know, when you get into formulas, forget it. You know, I always, and I used this example a couple weeks ago. We were talking about kind of rewriting your story because sometimes we tell ourselves stories that I think, in all honesty, are not true. Like, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. And I used the example of martial arts years ago when I was growing up, where I always told myself that I was not good at a certain part of the martial arts. It was ground fighting, when in actuality, I ended up being the best person in the class of like 30 people. But I always told myself that story. In the case of math and numbers, that story's been written.
Okay.
I feel you. There is, you know what? I ain't rewriting that story. If I go to a restaurant and I need to figure out the tip, the iPhone comes out. I'm sorry. I can't even do the simple 20% unless it's like $100 even.
Yeah. Then you're like, I know this one. I've got this one down. No, I feel you on that. I've told myself that same story about not being good at math. And it's funny, the thing about the spreadsheets for me is that if you're using it for a task list or any sort of like getting work done, I just am like, this is the wrong tool for the job and I hate it and it's making me uncomfortable. But if you're saying, hey, this is actually about creating a system for understanding how numbers relate to one another and math and formulas, that I love, because the ADHD brain very good at pattern recognition and putting things in order and putting things in boxes. So a spreadsheet is great for that. But if you're taking ideas and you're putting them into that format, ideas, like you said, you love words. I love words. They're meant to flourish and live outside of a box. So they need to be in a different system that allows for more play.
Yeah. Yeah. So you alluded to it a little bit. But in terms of clarity with each other, I mean, is that a main theme when you guys are working with each other? Is it, and then how do you determine clarity with each other? Is it that weekly meeting? Is it, have you learned over the past 10 years of working with each other? Or, you know, how big of a theme is clarity when it comes to, and the reason I ask this is because, you know, this podcast is a lot of entrepreneurs with ADHD, business professionals with ADHD. And I think they'd like to know from you in terms of how those different brains work in an organization.
Sarah, why don't you kick us off with that one?
Yeah. So it's great that you said clarity. I actually, my productivity system that I created and that I teach all our clients, and really Jeff and I build our systems on this. It's called COAT, C-O-A-T. Well, the C stands for clarity and clarifying, because I often in my career in marketing, like I saw this step miss all the time. Like we'd be off to the races. Someone would say, can you do this? Yes, we can. We're almost done. And it was like, hang on a second. Wait, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Like, let's pause for a second and make sure we really understand where this element, this task, this project fits in the larger scope of what we're trying to accomplish here. So all that to say, there's nothing more important to me than clarity. Yeah. I mean, it is the backbone of everything. I want to leave every single conversation, every single meeting. What do I need to do? When is it due? Who do I need to collaborate with on this particular thing? Right. I want that clarity. I crave it. Like I can't have life without it. I'm a planner. I want to know what's happening 3 weeks from now. That's really how I operate and do my best. So with Jeff and I, we try to just make sure that we know who's doing what by when. it's on this communal list that we share that we're working on together. And then we're very open with each other. Did you do this? Did you do that? You know, we're checking in with each other. We have this weekly meeting, but we're on Discord. We're texting each other. We're, you know, making sure all the time that we're on the same page. Now, of course, things can change as we go along, but we want to make sure that that clarity, really every day we are on the same page, we're in sync, we know what the client needs next. So it's paramount for me, certainly.
Yeah. And on my side, I would just say, you know, I'm so thankful that I have Sarah leading the charge for clarity, because there's a couple things embedded in what Sarah just spoke about. But one is she makes sure that we capture all of that, because, you know, that's not what I do. I just go. And I feel like often, you know, Sarah does the hard work of kind of like chasing after me and catching all of the breadcrumbs of stuff that I'm blurting out. And she puts it into an order so that we actually get things done. Yeah. And I think related to that is that I often, for the work that I do, I already know what I'm going to do. But it's Sarah who says, let's make sure that we actually know what those steps are, and let's get clear on exactly what those things are, and let's document it. Because without that, here's what's exactly going to happen, is we're going to get off that Zoom call where I knew exactly what was going to happen, and literally like 17 seconds into the next thing, I have forgotten absolutely everything that just took place on that Zoom call. And if it were not for Sarah really, you know, ensuring that we get that clarity, demanding that that be part of our process, which is just so vital, we would lose so much to the ether of like my ADHD brain. So that clarity is really important from the side of the capturing. On the other side, and this was back to what Sarah said earlier, we're very open and transparent with each other. And I do attribute a lot of that to the relationship that Sarah and I have. We've known each other for so long. We're very comfortable being open with each other. And we're both not afraid to just bare soul of like, this is who I am, right? Like as an ADHD person, I've had to mask my way of being in the world for like 30 some odd years before I was comfortable saying like, my brain doesn't work like that. I'm going to do things different. But with Sarah, we're so open about it that we actually have the freedom to say, I don't actually understand what you're talking about. And Sarah will thankfully do this with me, because I will info dump. I will just go like full tilt. Here's everything I know about this subject, and look at my giant mind map. And she will just bright, big, wide-eyed stare, go, okay, we're going to need to take that one step at a time. And then there are other times where, you know, there's so many things happening at once that I'm focused on that Sarah has the foresight to be able to say, okay, out of all that, none of that matters. Here's the one thing I need you to do in by this date. So that clarification of saying like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and being open about that, and then being able to tell the other person, here's exactly what I need from you. That open flow of communication is what makes this work.
I think, and I know if I look back over the years, because I've run a public relations firm, and you know, that's transitioned into more content creation for companies. But I mean, I know that lack of clarity has actually gotten me in more trouble than probably anything in my business, because I've talked to other, whether you're working for a company or you're an entrepreneur, like you say, you walk out of a meeting and there was either no clarity to begin with from the client, or you missed, you know, it's like Kevin Klein in A Fish Called Wanda. It's like, what was the middle part? You know, it's just like,
I love that you just quoted A Fish Called Wanda.
You know, but it's like, what he's always asking, what was the middle part? And it was always the most important middle part.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I can't believe you just quoted A Fish Called Wanda. That makes this officially one of the best podcasts I've ever been on in my entire life. And that includes my own. That is an excellent reference.
But I think, you know, and then some of us, and maybe there's a whole shame or guilt thing we could go down, you know, but you're almost afraid to call after you get back to your office and gain that clarity. So yes. Again, there's a whole thing about procrastination and emotions and everything else, but that's why I think people with ADHD have got to, clarity has to be one of the main goals in a business setting.
Absolutely. But I will say to that, I do think that a lot of the, and again, this is why my partnership with Sarah works so well. I think there's actually as much and potentially even more of a responsibility on the people who are on the more neurotypical side of things to actually ensure that people who are on the more neurodivergent side are actually clear. And the reason is, and it's not because I want to give extra work to people who have a brain that's different from mine. It's that I've been socialized to pretend that I do it the way that you all might do it, that I got it, that everything's fine. And we are scared to say, I don't actually know. I didn't actually catch that. I actually forgot everything we just talked about in the meeting. My brain actually isn't going to understand what you're saying unless you put it out visually. Like, unless we say these things, which we often have a hard time saying, we often have a hard time sharing that for fear of being judged, for being told that we're not good in this, you know, in this environment that we're supposed to function in a certain way, that I think part of this kind of fits into the conversation around inclusion, which is like, how do you create an environment for people whose brains are like mine, who maybe aren't as open with how they are about it, so that they can actually thrive in your places of work? Because we have a lot to bring that are unique skills. But if we're trying to pretend that we function just like you, you're never going to get access to that. We have to be able to, this is why I say to Sarah all the time, like part of the thing I love about working with you is you just let me be me. You just let me come in and be my way that I am. And you're not judging me. You're actually the perfect complement to pick up all the pieces of what I lack.
And I think the beauty of that is really that we're able to, we kind of found each other and we were able to, and this is my big takeaway for people today, like find that person that can compliment you in that way. But it's also back to delivering the best possible thing for the client, right? And so I think that's really what's been so powerful is to see this play out and to see this work so well and say, I couldn't have done that without you. You couldn't have done that without me, right? And really being able to build that relationship and the relationship we have with our clients in that fashion as well. And always being open and saying, I'm not getting it. I'm falling behind. My brain's not working that way. And Jeff will flat out say to me in a meeting, I need a minute. Stop. I can't hear what you're saying right now. Let's give me a second and then we regroup. Yeah. Right. And so, and I'm a mile a minute also. So we pause and we take a break and then we can kind of recap when he's ready for it. And I can manage it that way, but it's been so helpful. If he didn't have the ability or feel like he could speak up and say to me, I need you to pause for a second. I don't think we would have the relationship or the business that we have. I really do not think our business would be as successful if Jeff didn't say, I need you to pause for a second. And then if I didn't have the ability to say, I don't know what you're talking about right now. Yeah. Can you go back and explain it to me again? And that is it. Like that is the critical piece. And our clients are benefiting because again, they're getting both sides of that. So now when we're ready to present something to a client, really, we fleshed it out. Both yeah. parts of the brain got an opportunity to say, and now I feel like we're presenting something really amazing to our clients.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point. So that's a good kind of segue into another question is, and Jeff, you alluded to, I think, you know, organizations, when they hear the word inclusion, there are certain things such as race and gender. But I think the one thing that is continued to be missed in that conversation is people with different brains. So what can leaders take away from not only your relationship as partners in some of this work, but also in accepting different brains into the organization? I mean, what can they take away from this conversation, as well as maybe being a little more open-minded and welcoming?
Yeah. And similarly to, you know, the inclusion conversation is the conversation around diversity. And, you know, a lot of times that does focus on gender and race and things like that. But to your point, neurodivergence and like, you know, how your brain functions is often left out of that. And I think one of the downsides of that, and this is something that it's going to take years for us to really work this into how business functions, is that we have to be able to have open enough conversations and create a space where people can talk about how their brains work in such a way where, if they're applying for a job, they're actually applying for the right job based upon how they work. And as an example, if I were to apply for any job that requires a high attention to detail, that requires someone to do something with consistency each day to do a certain thing. I'm just going to fail at it. And what would be the result of that is that, you know, I might lose that job. I might have myself questioning my self-worth. I might have any of these different negative effects about myself as a person because I couldn't do this thing that I'm actually not built for. By contrast, you put me in the right role, you're going to think I am a legitimate superhero because I do a certain number of things in a really extraordinary way. And I guess my point of that is not to humble brag, but to say that you have to put people in the right roles and you have to understand and create the space for them to be able to tell you what the right role is. So before you get frustrated, I think one of the first things is before you get frustrated with that person on your team who's not doing the thing, whatever that thing is, ask yourself, have I been curious enough? Have I done the work to actually figure out if this is a them problem or if this is a problem of the system that they're currently sitting in?
Yeah.
And I would say for people who are on the more neurodivergent side of things, there are certain things that we do really well and there's certain things that we don't do really well. And I'll just give you a really good example that I saw recently. And because I can't go down the whole laundry list of them, but I'll just give you a really good example of one that I heard recently. There's a conversation in business around how to establish connection and how to be a good salesperson, how to this and how to that. And one of the big tips always is maintain and make eye contact, right? Like make eye contact. It's one of the ways that you like to make firm handshake eye contact. Well, people who are on the neurodivergent scale sometimes actually have a tremendously hard time with eye contact. And that's just like a little thing. It's a throwaway tip that we give everyone. We say, oh, this is how you appear confident, this and that. Well, that's actually exclusionary to people who actually struggle with things like that. Scheduling is another thing. Someone like me, you put me in a schedule where I'm back to back to back to back to back. I'm good with that. But if you put an hour gap in between two meetings, that hour is functionally useless. I can do nothing in between. And this actually extends to it. I forget the technical term for this, but if I'm starting out my day and I see that I have an appointment at 1 o'clock and it's now 9 o'clock, my 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock could actually be dramatically affected by the 1 o'clock appointment because feel me?
More than you know. It's right? Just like,
it's ridiculous. You're like, it's 3 hours away, 4 hours away. Why is this impacting my day? Well, why should I even get started on something if in 4 hours I've got to stop to do something else?
But you know what? That's almost, we're going on another tangent here, but
yeah.
But I almost think for me, it is because once, and this isn't hyper-focus as far as I'm concerned, this is flow. And the only way I get anything done in my life is flow.
Yep.
And yes, if I know that I need, for example, writing, I do a lot of writing.
Yep.
I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to write 20 minutes here and 30 minutes here. And so you're right. So if I got a meeting at like 11 or something, it's just like, yeah, I'm just sitting there like SpongeBob and sitting there twiddling my thumbs. I'm just
fidget spinnering.
Exactly. I can't, you're right. That time is dead to me. And I yeah, don't think but, some people understand
But if you were in
that.
An organization, you might be held accountable for that wasted hour. They might yeah. say to you, well, why aren't you doing anything? Because, dude, my brain doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
But it's funny. What I always noticed was and this is why I can't work for anyone. I'm psychologically unemployable. But if I was at a job, I always noticed it was really odd because I would get like reprimanded or in trouble or a talking to if I came in a little late or if I didn't do something for every minute of my day. But no one would ever say a thing if I stayed late or if I did a tremendous amount of work from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. that night. I would never get any kudos or rewards or any call outs for that. It's only if I fit the neurotypical definition of what success looks like. I show up 10 minutes early, half an hour early. I get a bunch of things done. I work my 8 hours. I take a shortened lunch break. I maybe stay a little bit late, go to the company happy hour. That makes me a good employee, but I just don't work like that.
The people who do, as far as I'm concerned, the people who do take that hour and try and squeeze in one more thing, I'm convinced they're time blind because inevitably they will be late for the next commitment.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either that or they have an easier time, jumping out of that. They probably don't even get into the flow state within that hour. If you can, God bless you.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like if I'm in a flow state, like I just cannot be interrupted.
See,
like,
me sitting on my ass is a defense mechanism.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a really great example of this because it's going to happen this afternoon, actually. So we have a new client coming on board and we are doing their assessment meeting. So this is the meeting where they really tell us everything that, you know, how they work, how they like to work, those questions we were talking about earlier. So what we have our executive assistant do is immediately after that meeting, the next hour is when we do we really build most of their system, the foundational system. Jeff builds their mind map the hour after that meeting. Because what we have found, if we have that meeting and then a week goes by and then we have to, you know,
even okay, Jeff, 2 hours goes by.
Yeah, it's time to do that work. He's like, it's very hard to get back, and myself included, it's very hard to get back into that state of flow. What was that note? What did that mean? Okay, I'm trying to remember this. So now we purposely build these meetings in such a way that it perfectly works for Jeff's brain. And really it helps mine as well. And we are in that flow. So this client, again, we have figured out how to get our brains to work our best to serve our client. Our client this afternoon is getting a better outcome because we've been able to recognize how our brains work and we've adjusted our schedule accordingly. So now our executive assistant, she knows, okay, this is how these meetings have to get scheduled. And it's a game changer.
So in essence, two different brains allow you guys to be more effective 100%. For that organization because you know that this needs to get done now.
And we're proactively planning for it. So we're not leaving it to chance. We're not saying, well, when can that meeting happen? It's like that has happened immediately after. And so if we can't have that larger block, that meeting has to go to a different time.
Yeah.
And we're firm on that. And I think that that's, again, better outcome for the client definitely makes both of our brains happy.
And I'll tell you another example. So I was recently speaking with a leader who has a person on their team who I'm convinced is like just textbook ADHD. And this person on their team has the responsibility of doing a particular task every single day. It's a thing where like they have to do it every day. And she was wondering like, why won't he just do this thing? And I'm like, well, I can tell you why. But I was like, well, can we think about a possible alternative solution that would work for a brain like mine? And this is just a glimpse into kind of like how Sarah and I work, which is that we will encounter problems, so to speak, with a team where they're saying, well, we're doing this and it's not working. And half the time it's a solution where I go, well, that's obvious. It's this because it's not being built for someone like me. And half the time Sarah's going, well, it's obviously this because it's not built for someone like her. Right. So I was talking with this leader and I was like, you know, what can we do to potentially deal with that? Does this need to be responded to every day? She was like, no, probably just like once a week, really. And I was like, well, just tell this person to do it all on a Friday in a block of time and they can do it all at once. Yeah. Instead of having to pay attention to it each day, they just set aside the time of that block on a Friday and they do it then.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So as we wrap up, as we usually do here, I always love for people to be able to, if they actually got through the entire podcast, be able to actually walk away with just some action items that they can be thinking about, things that they can implement in their professional world. And I think from the two different brains that, you know, you guys, you're running these projects, you're working with these clients, consulting. If somebody listening to this podcast is either an entrepreneur with ADHD, they're in running a small business, or they're in an organization where they know that they have ADHD and maybe their coworker or their boss is not ADHD, what are those three or four things that should be top of mind so the person with ADHD can take charge, take control? Because I think that's important for people, adults with ADHD in the business setting, to be able to, you know, I know how my brain works. I know how I work with other people. I know my strengths and weaknesses. How can I take control? So not only do I don't get burned out or frustrated, but how can I be more effective for this organization? So does that make sense? So what are those kind of three or four things that people need to think about to kind of control the chaos?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I have a book behind me and it's called Rocket Fuel. And that book really helped me. So I previously was a CMO and I had a CEO who had a different brain type from me. And very similar to my relationship with Jeff, where, I would get frustrated and I would think, why isn't he doing it the way that I need him to do it? And why isn't he thinking about it like this? And I read that book and it literally changed everything. And it allowed me to have such a more open conversation and say, I understand that our brains are different. How can I be my best self? What are my strengths? What are yours? And now how can we figure out how to get these things to complement each other? And it worked, and we did, and we're great friends to this day. And I think that that is just such an impactful way to, one, recognize that people are different from you, obviously, right? Obviously, we have different brain types. Being able to say, this is my strength. This is how my brain works. I'm not processing this right now. I'm not understanding what you're saying right now. Can you do this again? I need to see it this way. You know, we're very ashamed to say, I'm not getting it. And we're guilty. You know, you brought those two words up earlier. Shame and guilt are huge in the workplace. And I think if we can just be more open and honest and say, I need that again. I need it in a different way. I need to understand it this way. It shows a great intention. It shows that you're trying to do the right thing. It shows that you want to understand. So I just hope people can, let's try to remove that shame and guilt around it for sure. So being open, being honest, and then finding people. I think as a manager, you know, I always wanted to hire people like me and I wanted little mini Sarahs running around. But in reality, what makes the team strongest, the strength of the business that Jeff and I have is that we are different. That is our number one strength. And we figured out that was actually our number one sales pitch. And we say it on every call because that is the key. If everyone worked the way I worked, we would only be building for one type of person and one type of brain, and it just would not serve the clients as well. So I think being open, being honest, recognizing your strengths and actually being quite proud of them and making that something that's being an advocate for that and find those people that complement those things for you.
Yeah. And I'll just add a couple of things and apologies. My daughter is having a meltdown in the background, so I'll keep my things brief. But I would say, underscoring everything that Sarah's been saying about open communication, I would say for the ADHD listeners, I would advocate that you try to find a space and find someone that you trust to be open about how your brain works differently. Because if it's not made visible, people are going to assume that the mask that you're putting on, that you've been taught and you've been conditioned to put on, is the real you. And I think the minute that you can get people to start seeing that they need to accommodate for a different type of brain to really bring out your superpower is the minute that you start to improve your organization and your own experience of being at work. So I think that communication is key. I would say specific tips for people with ADHD. One, have a system. Systems are really going to be one of the only external systems are among the only ways that I have found to mitigate and manage for the disability side of ADHD, because there's a superpower side and there's a disability side. There's a time where I'm just completely paralyzed, cannot do a thing. Executive function, total shutdown. But then there's other times where I can go for 10 straight hours and I will build an entire business. Like literally build an entire business in a day. So like I can do both of those things, but you have to make it work for you. And the tip I would give you is in that system, consider a system that prioritizes visual processing rather than text-based, word-based. Think more in terms of pictures like a mind map, or think in terms of Kanban boards and things like that. Draw out things that you need to think about, but do not rely on your brain as a means of capturing and storing information. External storage, external processing. Sarah knows more than anything else than working with me. If she really wants to like set me on fire to do a thing, she puts me in a room with a whiteboard. She knows that she will say, we need the whiteboard, get a whiteboard. We need to do the whiteboard, because that's how I'm able to get all of this stuff that's in here out. And I know a lot of ADHD people are the same way, the external processing.
Yeah. Find the tools and the office setup that you need that works for you. If you need one wall to be a whiteboard, like, go for it. And I think that's really critical, is these more tools exist than ever before. And so finding those things, what works for you, and being really proud of what works for you.
And I think that's important. I see a lot of people complaining about, oh, somebody recommended this, and it's usually on Twitter, but somebody recommended this and that was stupid. You know what? It might work for you. Maybe it doesn't work for you, the one that's complaining, but it might work for somebody else. So don't discount it. So that's an important point. So, well, thanks. As always, we could go on forever and ever. So maybe we're going to book round two here, because this was fun. And like you said, we weaved in a fish called Wanda. So does it get any better than that? I mean, come on. All right. How can people find you, Jeff?
I'm easy to find. The link I always give out to find me and connect with me, and this includes all things, including the work that Sarah and I do together, is just go to jgibbard.com. That's a menu of options. You can find anything from my side projects to my main projects to connecting with me on social media. It's all at jgibbard.com.
Cool. Sarah?
And I'm at so-productive.com and also active on LinkedIn. So connect with me there as well.
Cool.
And then our business is getsuperproductive.com. So if you're looking for help setting up Asana, Notion, Todoist, Monday.com, any of those things, and making it work for your organization, that's where you can find us for that.
Cool. Getsuperproductive.com. I love that. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right. We will, we got to continue this conversation soon. So folks, you're going to hear round two. So hopefully soon. So thank you guys. This was awesome. I love having these discussions, and I know people will take away a ton of value from this. So thank you. Hey gang, you know, as adults with ADHD, we have to conquer a lot of things, but one of the biggest challenges that is pretty much evident in all of us with ADD is managing our time and overcoming distractions. So what I have done as a busy entrepreneur and someone who has interviewed countless other entrepreneurs with ADHD is I've put together a short little program called ADHD Managing Time and Overcoming Distractions. And it is dirt cheap. It's from my experiences as a busy entrepreneur and a busy executive before I went out on my own, as well as the tactics and strategies I have learned by interviewing dozens and dozens of other professional people with ADHD. We talk about managing information overload, managing those common distractions, creating the ideal workspace, how to get in the zone, and some other tips and tricks that can help us crush our day and get more hours out of the day and be productive. So if you're interested, I'd love you to check it out. Go to overcomingdistractions.com/get more done. It's overcomingdistractions.com/get more done. Check it out. It's a ton of awesome advice for dirt cheap. All right, overcomingdistractions.com/get more done. I hope you'll check it out.